got my job in Beirut. This is steelpot.com, the week in Georgia. In English, coming to you from Hamana, 5 blocks south of the American University of Beirut, which celebrates its 150th anniversary all-class reunion tomorrow. Today is the 7th of July, 2016. On this date, in 1124, Tida, just an hour south of Beirut, falls to the Crusaders. 1456, Jeanne d'Arc is acquitted of heresy by a papal court in Paris. Unfortunately, she had been burned at the stake 25 years earlier. 1550, chocolate is introduced to the Spanish court. From the Americas, it quickly becomes a craze in Europe. 1585, the ill-advised Treaty of Namur establishes tolerance, abolishes tolerance of Protestants in France. 1753, England's Jews are granted citizenship. 1801, Toussaint Louverture declares Haiti to be independent from France. 1928, sliced bread is sold for the first time on the inventor's 48th birthday by the Chilcote Baking Company in Chilcote, Missouri. 1947, the alleged crash of a UFO near Roswell, New Mexico. I'm not saying they were aliens, but they were aliens. 1976, female cadets enrolled at West Point. 1981, Sandra Day O'Connor is nominated by President Ronald Reagan to become the first female judge in the U.S. Supreme Court. 2005, a series of terrorist bombings carried out by Al-Qaeda in the London Tube kill 56 people, injure 700, including Carolina Gluck, a receptionist at Goodenough College. Birthdays are Ringo Starr, Robert Heinlein, and George Cukor. I'm your host, Mark Mullen. This podcast was written by Joe Larson, edited by Ari Swieka. If you'd like to comment or ask a question, go to tapilpod.com or send an email at tapilpod@gmail.com. European Parliament's Foreign Affairs Committee approved visa liberalization for Georgia, Ukraine, and Kosovo on the 7th of July. The proposal will now be handed to the Committee on Civil Liberties, Justice, and Home Affairs, who will vote after the summer recess ends on the 12th of September. If they approve, it will go to a vote by the entire European Parliament. Before visa liberalization can come into effect, it also needs to be approved by the Council of EU Home Affairs and Justice Ministers, which is made up of ministers from each EU member state. Council came close to approving visa-free travel for Georgians last month, but last-minute opposition from Germany, France, and Italy squashed the proposal. The Committee on Civil Liberties, Justice, and Home Affairs also approved a proposal to make it easier for the EU to suspend its visa-free arrangements with non-members. This means that the EU could temporarily require visas in the event of an emergency or an unexpected spike in immigration, even for the countries which have a visa-free arrangement. Again, this proposal needs to be approved by the entire European Parliament and the Council of EU Home Affairs and Justice Ministers before it comes into effect. Organization for Security and Cooperation Europe, OSCE, held its parliamentary assembly in Tbilisi this week. They adopted a resolution calling for enhanced efforts for a peaceful resolution of the Abkhaz and South Ossetian conflicts. More importantly, the resolution accused Russia of violating international law in the August 2008 ceasefire agreement because of its occupation and annexation of the two territories. It calls on Russia to fully implement the ceasefire agreement and withdraw its recognition of Abkhazia and South Ossetia. The draft resolution was submitted by the Georgian delegation. 56 of the OSCE's 57 members voted in favor. Only one voted against. That would be Russia. Russian delegation called resolution politically motivated and anti-Russian. Austrian MP Christine Mutonen was elected president of the Parliamentary Assembly, beating National Movement Member of Parliament Gigi Tzedatelli in the second round of voting. Tzedatelli's candidacy was strongly backed by his own party, as well as by Parliamentary Speaker Data Usupashvili of the Republican Party. It was strongly opposed by Otsneba. This led to a lot of controversy and name-calling between Otsneba and the opposition. The president of the Parliamentary Assembly can hold a position for up to two one-year terms. He or she plays an important role in presiding over meetings of the Assembly. Following up on last week's terror attack at the Atatürk Airport in Istanbul, Turkish authorities believe the attack was masterminded by Ahmet Çatayev, a Chechen who is also a high-ranking Daesh commander. Three men who physically carried out the suicide attacks at the airport were natives of Kyrgyzstan, Dagestan, and Uzbekistan, respectively. They're believed to have been recruited by Çatayev to form part of a Russian-speaking terror cell. Çatayev himself has connections to Georgia. He was injured during a gun battle between fighters and Georgian police in the Lopota Mountain Valley in 2012 when 14 people were killed, 11 Chechens, including two from Pankisi Gorge and three members of Georgia's security services. The shootout is referred to as the Lopota Incident. Following the shootout, Misha told the public that Chechen fighters crossed the border from Dagestan into Georgia and took a number of Georgian hostages, and that Georgian security forces had fought to get the hostages released. Uchin Nanuashvili, who was public defender at the time, rejected the official version of events. According to his own investigation, the Chechen fighters were being trained and armed by the National Movement government so they could be sent back to the North Caucasus to fight against Russia. He also said then-Deputy Interior Minister Gyalord Kipanidze was in charge of the secret program. According to Nanuashvili, the shootout happened when the Chechen fighters tried to leave Georgia, not enter it, as Misha had said. I have heard that Ucha's version is a little bit closer to the truth and that actually more of those killed were from Pankisi. 2013, Nanuashvili asked Parliament to conduct an official investigation. They declined, saying that the Prosecutor General's office would investigate. However, no investigations have results have been released, and we still don't know for certain whether the National Movement trained Chechen fighters. Earlier this week, two Georgian officials, Minister of Refugees Sosar Subadi and Otsneba MP Irakli Sesiashvili, told the media that Chataev had been an agent of Misha, but neither presented any hard evidence. Chataev was detained after the Lopota incident and charged with illegal weapons possession, but the charges were later dropped by the Tbilisi City Court. He left Georgia in early 2013, went on to join Daesh, adding another layer of intrigue. Russia is connecting Georgia to the Istanbul attack by claiming that Chataev is a Georgian citizen and that he was granted citizenship before leaving the country in 2013. Georgia denies that Chataev has ever been a citizen of Georgia or held a Georgian passport. In travel to and from Georgia, U.S. Secretary of State John Kerry was in Tbilisi on the 6th and 7th of July, meeting with the President, Prime Minister, also chaired a session of the U.S.-Georgia Strategic Partnership Commission before leaving for Ukraine today. On Wednesday, Secretary Kerry and President Margvelashvili signed a memorandum on deeper security relations. The agreement covers deeper cooperation and capacity building and information sharing. The NATO summit in Warsaw is this weekend. A large Georgian delegation will be attending, including the President and Defense Minister Tiniko Khidashely. Oddly, right before Kerry came, Georgia recalled its ambassador to the U.S., Archil Gegashidze, for comments he made recently about the presence of pro-Russian forces in the Georgian government. Following the statements, President Margvelashvili called Gegashidze unqualified and incompetent. He wants an explanation. Gegashidze was part of the Rondelli Institute, but it was never really particularly close with Misha's side. Archil Khabadze stepped down as the head of the local government in Ajada. The new head has to be nominated by President Margvelashvili and then approved by Ajada's Supreme Council. Khabadze will remain acting head of Ajada until that process is finished. Speculation is that National Movement member Levon Varsholomidze wants the job. He was head of Ajada from 2004 to 12 and is close to Misha. Roughly 200 environmental activists and residents of Upper Svaneti protested the planned Nerskra hydropower plant over the weekend. Protesters include members of Tbilisi-based environmental group Green Fist and Young Greens, as well as residents of villages that could be affected by the project. They are demanding that construction be stopped until the environmental risks are fully considered. They also want the investors to consider alternative projects. The protesters have given investors 1 week to meet their demands, or else they will block the road to the construction site. On the 5th of July, roughly 1,500 protesters in Suchumi tried to storm the Interior Ministry to demand the resignation of Interior Minister Leonid Zapshba. Abkhazian President Raul Khajimba dismissed Zapshba the next day. According to a report from Radio Free Europe, Radio Liberty, the protesters are angry at Zapshba for failing to effectively fight crime in the territory and are just ticked off at the government in general. The association agreement that Georgia signed with the EU in 2014 officially came into full force on the 1st of July. Georgia has been implementing the association agreement bit by bit since September 2014. Free Democrats promised that if they win the October parliamentary elections, they've got the exciting, bold initiative of increasing pensions from 180 lari to 300 lari per month per person. They also plan to introduce a minimum wage of 3 lari per hour. Free Democrats quit the Otsneva coalition in November 2014 and are running on their own. Discussions about reopening the road link between Georgia and Russia via South Ossetia came up empty. The three sides and Armenia were discussing a temporary reopening of the road as an alternative to the Kazbegi-Zemolarsi border crossing, which was closed because of the mudslide late last month. The road just reopened on Wednesday. Armenia in particular was pushing for reopening the route. The Kazbegi-Zemolarsi crossing is their only overland link to Russia. However, Russia made it clear that reopening the road through South Ossetia would have implications for the region's legal status, and that is something Georgia is not willing to reconsider. Georgia's Central Elections Commission rejected a proposal for a referendum on same-sex marriage in Georgia. The referendum sponsors didn't collect the minimum 200,000 signatures. Their proposed question was, do you want to allow same-sex marriage in Georgia? Another referendum on same-sex marriage is still pending with the Central Election Commission. That one submitted last month by Alexander Bregadze, Soso Manjvidze, and Zvia Tomaradze. Their proposed question is, quote, do you agree or not to define civil marriage as a union between a man and a woman with a goal to create a family, end quote. Nobody but Agentebi really want this to pass. A Georgian citizen detained in South Ossetia was accused of terrorist activity, which must mean they want a bigger bribe to get him out. The South Ossetian authorities said the man, Georgi Gyunashvili, has been involved in illegal armed activities against South Ossetian soldiers since 2004. Gyunashvili was detained on the 8th of June when authorities in Skhinvali said he illegally crossed the border, probably a shepherd. The Georgian government is pushing for his release. President of South Ossetia, Leonid Tibilov, said that his government is making efforts to further reinforce the administrative boundary line. This is part of the alliance agreement signed between South Ossetia and Russia last year. Interior Ministry Officer Papuna Davitaya received a medal from NATO Vice Admiral Clive Johnstone for his participation in Operation Active Endeavor. The operation focuses on patrolling the Mediterranean. Georgia signed a Council of Europe Convention on Integrated Safety, Security, and Service Standards during sporting events, especially football matches. The convention is designed to make sporting events safer and more enjoyable for fans. Magda Papidze was convicted by a jury of murdering her husband and child on the 4th of July. She was sentenced to life in prison. More information on the Tbilisi Bypass Road. The road is currently in its design phase. It will be in two sections, one going from Rustavi to Natakhtari and the other from Natakhtari to Zhinvali. According to the website of the ADB, who are putting up several million dollars for the project, the road will also link up Highway E60. On the 28th of June, the Roads Department announced a tender for technical feasibility study of the new road. Planning phase should take about 15 months. Two inbound flights were diverted from Tbilisi to Yerevan on the 1st of July because of a thunderstorm. Both planes landed in Tbilisi about 3 hours later after weather conditions improved. Geostat reported that Georgia's year-on-year inflation rate was 1.1% during June compared to the same time last year. Transportation costs fell by 9.5% from June 2015. China's Hualing Group, which is the largest foreign investor in Georgia, announced plans to purchase a majority stake in Bank Republic, the Georgian subsidiary of Societe Generale, or SocGen, by merging Bank Republic with Basis Bank, which it already owns. Hualing will be in control of the third largest bank in Georgia. Societe Generale and the European Bank for Reconstruction and Development, EBRD, will be minority shareholders in the new bank. Georgia National Tourism Administration reported that the number of international travelers in Georgia increased by 12.9% over the first half of 2016 compared to the same time period last year. The biggest increases came from Iran, India, the Philippines, Israel, and China. Georgian Railways signed a memorandum of understanding with Deutsche Bahn, the German national rail operator, on creating a new rail connection between Europe and China that would pass through Georgia. The rail connection would be part of China's One Belt, One Road program of infrastructure projects linking China to Europe. Kazakh Airlines Air Astana increased the number of flights between Tbilisi and Almaty to 6 per week. Iranian airline Keshem Air increased the frequency of flights between Tehran and Tbilisi to 4 per week, and Russia's Ural Airlines increased the number of flights from Ekaterinburg to Batumi to 3 per week. Georgia exported mineral water to Saudi Arabia for the first time. Saidme Mineral Waters Limited sent 240,000 bottles of water to Saudi Arabia, making it the 17th country to import the water. In wine news, Sichnaki in Hong Kong hosted Georgian wine festivals this week. Visitors could try wines from 9 different winemakers. The events were organized by the National Wine Agency. They also reported that Georgia exported 19.8 million bottles of wine during the first half of 2016. That is a 44% increase from the same period in 2015. Survey by the International Finance Corporation, IFC, found that Georgian businesses report corruption in the country to be basically non-existent. Georgian Business Perception Survey, which examines more than 800 businesses of various sizes operating in the country, found that only 0.3% of respondents reported experiencing government corruption face-to-face during the past year. Ministry of IDPs gave new apartments of 100 to 100 internally displaced families. The apartments are located at the Olympic Village, Tbilisi Sea. 400 more IDP families will receive flats by the end of the year. Caucasus Research Resource Centers, CRRC, held a works in progress session about IDPs and why humanitarian aid often fails to help them. The session was led by Elizabeth Dunn of Indiana University. She emphasized that the biggest problem is the structure of aid programs, not lack of resources. Of the money provided by donors, only about 60% ends up directly benefiting IDPs because of excessive bureaucracy and political interference. Film director Zaza Urushadze is working on a film titled The Monk, about a Georgian monk who moves to a small village. The joint Georgian-Estonian project has a budget of 1.8 million lani. The movie could be out in theaters in early 2017. Urushadze's last film was Tangerines, which received rave reviews. The Bollywood producers Abbas and Mustan Burmawala are filming a movie in Georgia. It will be called Machine and is apparently a love story. Lots of car chases thrown in. They are filming in different locations around Georgia, including Mestia, Batumi, Bazaleti, and Akhaltsikhe. They also filmed some racing scenes at the Rustavi International Motor Park. Studios taking advantage of the state program Film in Georgia, though the through the program they can get a 20 to 25% cash rebate on certain expenses. Georgia National Film Center is creating a digital archive of films produced during the last 100 years. They're currently collecting and reviewing about 120,000 film tapes from around the country to select those in good enough condition to be digitized as well as preserved in their original form. The State Museum of Literature announced that it wants to buy an abstract painting by a David Kakabadze from a private collector. They are looking for sponsors to foot about 35,000 lari of the total cost. Georgian opera singer Nino Surguladze was awarded an Excellence in Opera Award by the Italian opera magazine GB Opera. Also opera-related, Italian opera singer Nino Machaidze performed the Italian opera La Traviata at Arena di Verona in Italy on the 2nd of July in front of 18,000 people. Tennis star Marian Bolkvadze advanced to the second round of the girls' singles tournament at Wimbledon by beating Katie Swan of Britain. Basketball star Zaza Pachulia signed a contract to join NBA's Golden State Warriors, based in the city by the bay, San Francisco, Oakland, near there, coming from Dallas, amazingly. The Warriors won the NBA championship last year, came in second this past year. Parliamentary news, President Mark Velashvili signed into law granting amnesty to male prisoners 70 above and female prisoners 65 above, except when they committed particularly severe crimes. The bill was passed by Parliament on the 24th of June, sponsored by National Forum. The meme this week is an incredible picture taken of Gurian farmers in 1904. The picture has been preserved in color and featured in a recent photo essay run by The Guardian. New York Times, in Stuff to Read, The New York Times looks at the ugly side of Batumi's architectural boom. Reuters has a piece on Tarhan Batirashvili, better known as Omar al-Shishani, guy from Pankisi Gorge who joined Daesh in 2012. He was apparently killed earlier this year by a U.S. airstrike in Syria. Monica Elena has a piece in Eurasian Net about Soviet-era works of art sold at the Sotheby's auction last month. A painting, 300 Aragvians, by Georgian painter Manab Abramashvili, sold for £62,500. The Economist makes a pretty serious case for Georgia's national rugby team, the Lelos, to be admitted into the Six Nations, which is the annual tournament of Europe's top rugby teams. It's quite interesting and worth reading, and a little bit sad about the unlikelihood of that happening. Forbes has a great piece on the Hualing Kutaisi Free Industrial Zone, which was a decrepit automobile factory, Auto Tarhana, before China's Hualing Group reopened it in 2015. Atlantic Council has published a policy paper on dealing with frozen conflicts. It includes some recommendations for how U.S. policymakers should approach the situations in Abkhazia and South Ossetia. Foreign Affairs offers some suggestions for how NATO can reduce tensions with Russia. Social Science in the Caucasus is rerunning a piece from 2015 that discusses how Georgia went from being a lower middle income country to an upper middle income country, according to the World Bank measurements. PolitiFacts tackles claims made by U.S. Senator Tom Cotton that Hillary Clinton was, quote, literally present when we pressed the reset button with Russia just a few months after Russia had invaded Georgia, end quote. They find the claim to be mostly true, even though Tom Cotton is a well-known idiot. Haaretz has a piece on the Israeli government's refusal to recognize the Armenian genocide. Hans Goodbrot's Transparify project has published its 2016 report on the financial transparency of think tanks around the world. All this stuff to read, posted on the forum. This week's dive bar number is 1,884,665. The number of bottles of wine that Georgia exported to China during the first half of 2016. That is more than double the amount exported during the same time period last year. China is now the world's third largest consumer of Georgian wine after Russia and Ukraine. Announcements. Tbilisi's public bus system is now providing 24-hour service between the airport and Central Railway Station. In between, it will pass through Hero Square, Rustaveli and Melikishvili Avenues, Freedom Square, Chanturia Street, and Bush Street. Bus number 37 will leave every 35 minutes from midnight to 7 a.m. That's it for this week. My Twitter address is at TXTBUK. Our email is tpeelpod@gmail.com or post to the forum on our website, www.tpeelpod.com. And we will finish with 1994 by Dawn Penn from Kingston, Jamaica. This is You Don't Love Me. Wait, 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 wait.